Georgia is getting into the electric vehicle business along with many other places, and automakers have begun fighting for market share by slashing prices for electric models. This electric car price war will likely boost demand and sales. Tesla, Ford, and General Motors have all announced price cuts to keep some models of electric cars under the $55,000 price cap that's required to qualify for the federal tax credits of the Inflation Reduction Act. Joining us now to discuss is Jim Montevalli, who writes about green transportation for Auto Week and Barron's. Welcome back to Living on Earth, Jim.
It's great to be on, Steve.
So China experienced the Tesla price cuts first. What was the reaction there?
Well, it was surprising. It was surprising to me, but people reacted very strongly and actually organized demonstrations of angry Tesla owners who'd paid full price for the cars and now were seeing other people getting them cheaper. And you can see that's a normal human reaction when someone else is getting a bargain that you're not getting.
And I guess in China, they don't have the deal that many companies have here. Hey, if you see a lower price elsewhere, we'll make up the difference. I guess Tesla didn't make up the difference.
No, but it was interesting when Ford announced similar price cuts, it said that they'd be kind of retroactive to people who'd already ordered the car but not taken delivery, which is, you know, it's a decent gesture, I would say.
Well, yeah, and besides, who would take delivery once they saw that the new price was lower? They'd say, excuse me, sorry, I'm out of here. What do these price cuts What do they mean for U.S. electric vehicle purchase and use? What's the effect on this?
The effect is to make electric car prices a lot closer to comparable internal combustion engine cars, which I think has been a long time coming and is very good to see. One of the main complaints about electric cars is how expensive they are. People don't necessarily factor in the fact that the operating costs are a lot lower. And your out-of-pocket costs over time are probably going to be lower. Those high initial prices are very off-putting to people. There was also a major incentive for automakers to get the price of their car below $55,000 because that is the federal threshold now for giving the $7,500 federal income tax credit under the new Biden rules.
So why is this happening now? Why lower the price of an EV now?
I think the major reason is the whole field is getting more competitive. If you look at the last several years, Tesla virtually had EVs to itself, and that's reflected in the market share that Tesla had in the EV field. It's like a huge percentage of the EVs sold were Teslas all around the world. And today we're seeing the rise of mainstream automakers putting out their EV efforts. I think initially a lot of them weren't that great, but now we've reached the point where there's cars that are very competitive with Tesla. And I certainly would see people weighing buying a Tesla against other comparable cars. There's some that sound better than Tesla. And of course, Elon Musk hasn't done himself any favors with his antics recently, so that probably turns some people off Tesla.
Now, what role do battery costs play in all of this? You know, batteries have been historically really expensive.
I think one of the factors that automakers are able to reduce prices on their cars is that battery costs have been coming down. If you look at the history of the EV battery, when we first started manufacturing EVs, the first EV conversions that were done in the 80s and 90s, they were using lead acid batteries that were essentially unchanged from the 1920s. When we basically abandoned the electric car revolution at that point. But then we started applying quite a bit of research to batteries, and that led to the lithium-ion battery that's the standard today. And increasing efficiency in building batteries, reduced use of rare earth metals, which is one of the major reasons they cost a lot. And, you know, they have other problems besides being expensive. They're also sourcing from them is very problematic. Like the cobalt used in electric vehicle batteries, 65% of it or more, it comes from the Democratic Republic of the Congo. It's produced under very inhumane conditions, very unhealthy environmental conditions. So that is a major incentive for automakers to try to reduce the amount of cobalt or actually get to no cobalt in the batteries. And all this has had the effect of bringing the cost of batteries down. And the battery is the major cost center in the car. So if you can reduce the cost of the battery, then you can reduce the cost of the car. So I think that's a factor here.
Now, the traditional thing you say about costs in owning an EV is that up front you spend a bit more, but then there are fewer things to go wrong, so repairs are less. And of course, the fuel costs, even if electric prices are high, are still below the equivalent gasoline. At what point do you think we cross over that, in fact, the EV isn't going to cost any more up front than a fossil fuel power mobile?
I think we're getting close to that now. I don't think that'll take very long. If you look at the average price people pay for the cars, you'd be surprised how high it is. I mean, it's around high 30s is the average price of an internal combustion car. So when you hear that EVs are selling for 45 around in there, we're not that far apart. And as you said, if you factor in the much lower cost of operating them, then you have to look at, okay, at what point does the little extra money I paid get swallowed up by the lower operating costs? So what's my payback range? It might be 2 or 3 years or something like that. It's not a long time. And people keep a car for an average of 11 years. So you're going to definitely come out ahead if you own an EV now.
And of course, you have, in certain cases, for people whose income qualifies, you have the tax credit, the big federal tax credit, $7,500. That really addresses a gap between EVs and fossil fuel powered cars.
And of course, it's an incentive for the automakers to reduce their prices to get their vehicles under that price cap. And the price cap for trucks is $80,000. So they're able to get their truck below that, then they're going to sell a lot more trucks because the price point will be very attractive to people who can get that tax credit.
So these price cuts should attract more consumers to buy an EV, but what about range anxiety? Where are we with range anxiety in this society? I mean, how's that build out of the EV charging networks going at this point?
Range anxiety, it was a very real thing. When I had the first EVs, like that Nissan Leaf or the Mitsubishi iMiEV, which is another one that was out early on, that thing was so range challenged, it was ridiculous. I mean, in cold weather, I was seeing range of about 35 miles. And, you know, you wouldn't even make it to grandma's house at that rate. But today, the average EV has maybe 300 miles of range, or maybe 250, around in there. That's pretty good. And there is a public charging network. We have something like 10,000 public EV chargers around the country, and most of those have multiple charge points. And if you own a Tesla, you're really in good shape because the supercharger network is so good. If you don't own a Tesla, you're less supported, but there's the Electrify America network and others. But I think there is more compatibility now with charging. I'm not saying range anxiety is no longer a factor. It's definitely not as much of one.
In certain states, there's pushback against having an electric car mandate. Some politicians say this is taking away people's freedoms. What do you think?
Well, there are campaigns by the Koch brothers and others to shore up internal combustion cars. I've noticed that. They've put a lot of money into that. Oil companies are against it also. But I think that the realities of climate change are such that you can't just give people free range in choosing what car they buy. We can't have that going forward. We need to eliminate tailpipe emissions. I don't see any way around that, given the imperatives. You know, I wrote a book in 2004 called Feeling the Heat that looked at climate change impacts that you could visually see at that time. And there was quite a lot of them in 2004. Today, there's a whole lot more. I mean, the glaciers are obviously melting. The seas are obviously rising. The weather has gotten completely screwy. So, you know, it's not like the planet isn't telling us what we need to do. And I think, unfortunately, we've failed to meet a lot of our goals, but I do think we are actually going to apply this one and get out of internal combustion. And the electric car is, at this point, better than the internal combustion car. We're not asking you to do any kind of hardship. It is a really good car that is faster than your internal combustion car, is quieter, is better on every metric than the internal combustion car. So, you know, nobody has to wear a hair shirt over this thing.
Jim Motovalli is a blogger with Barron's and Auto Week. Jim, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Hey, it was great to be on, Steve.